Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, where we're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We are here on Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., and we're also here on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. It's a special edition of Tell Me Your Story, as well as 8 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. We hope you'll join us for all nine of our special programs, as we're here to give you knowledge. We're here to give you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And we are also podcasting at SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Stitcher, Player FM, Blueberry, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and many other locations. And we're on YouTube, where you can watch these interviews. We hope you'll subscribe and click notification. When I put up a new conversation, you'll be notified and you'll be able to tune in. We ask that if you can support us financially, we would be gratefully appreciative. We have a PayPal account. It's there for your security as well as ours. And we ask that you put in the email address when you're going to send something to us, and we greatly appreciate that. Richard at richarddugan.com is the email address. That's Richard at richard.com. RichardDugan.com. And let's see. We also would encourage you during this decade of perfect vision, the 2020s, to spend time going within and listening to that still small voice. And I think we're going to be talking a little bit about that as we converse with our returning guest here on the program, modern alchemist Adora Winquist. And Adora, thank you so much for coming back on the program. It's great to have you.
Well, it's such a delight, Richard. Thank you. I love your program. I love all of the wisdom and ideas and grounded understanding that you're sharing with your community at large.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. You have some similar information that you're going to share as a modern alchemist. First of all, for those who may be joining us for the first time, who haven't heard you on the program before, what is an alchemist, and what's the difference between an alchemist and a modern alchemist?
Great question. So traditional alchemy is about turning base metals into gold. But the alchemy that I am speaking of is a spiritual alchemy, a soul alchemy, even an emotional alchemy, where we take the places of challenge, of adversity, of obstacles within us, and transform them into greater strength, empowerment, wisdom, and direction in our lives. So really, the path of the modern alchemist is a quest. It is a quest to find those master keys that are going to unlock the greater quintessence, right? Those unique gifts, talents, and light that are held within you. And I would really say it's a path of liberation, to be able to liberate your soul, your heart, your mind, and bring that into a deeper alignment within your body, because your body is your temple of your divine design, right? The instrument of your essence, your talents, your gifts, your purpose. And I would say that modern alchemy, right? Why am I a modern alchemist? Well, I've created this philosophy of principles, practices, understandings, tools, and techniques that intertwine five different ancient philosophies, ancient understandings, ancient wisdom and healing traditions of essential oils, crystals, meditation, practical alchemy, which is an amalgamation of things like sound healing, Akashic records, creating your own medicine. And of course, the most important pillar, which is love, the frequency of love. And so through modern alchemy, the practices, the tools that are offered are simple, accessible, and yet still profound, still drive that needle of transformation that we're looking for, right? Becoming the change that we wish to not just see, but experience in our lives. And of course, although it is an inward journey, it is grounded in physical action, because that's how we change. That's how we evolve in our humanity. So that's a snippet of modern alchemy for you.
Do you think that There are some folks who maybe practice alchemy, I don't know, subconsciously, or it's like it's they don't even realize that that's what it is that they're doing that
Yes.
brings about what's going on in their lives.
Yes, well, consider athletes. Let's consider Olympic athletes as a great example of modern day alchemist, that they start with this deep desire, right? This calling that comes from the inner reaches of their being, their soul, or their heart. And then, of course, with that, there is, like the hero's journey, a pathway of transformation. And of course, they don't come with this, oh, I have this great calling, this great desire. And now, from that moment of recognizing that, from that moment of awareness, becoming a Olympic athlete, right? There's a journey along the way. And that journey is one of transformation. It's overcoming obstacles, right? Refining their gifts, their talents, their physical instrument. But it's not just a physical experience, right? The mind, we know, is such a, the mind is a master key, right? For the totality of who we are, which is the lock, essentially. And so it is a great passion as well. So it's not just the mind focused on the desired goal or outcome or intention, but the passion that drives their dedication, right? That drives that purpose from a deeper place within them to continue to fall down and then get back up, right? And we see so many remarkable stories of this from the Olympic perspective, and even that very early movie, I'm probably dating myself here, but Chariots of Fire. But there's so many wonderful stories. Greg Louganis, who I believe was a gymnast, and so this is a really clear and easy accessible representation of modern alchemy and that path of transformation, that path of unlocking that gold within you as an individual and rising to your greatest potential.
You know, it reminds me of the biblical passage where Jesus is talking to his disciples and they're asking him about these miracles that he's performing. You know, hey, can you teach us how to do these incredible miracles you're doing? And he says, these? Well, sure, I can, but this is nothing compared to the greater miracles that you are going to do. And I honestly
Yes.
believe the greater miracle is just what you described, and that is the transforming of our lives through these different modalities, these different processes, whether you call it alchemy or otherwise.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. And you know, I think there's something that's really profound when we start to expand our vision and understanding of ancient esoteric philosophy, of the alchemy of the plants, of the minerals, but also bringing in the element of our psycho-spiritual, our psychodynamics, which is a very important part of unlocking that potential that is within us. And so, you know, like the great teacher Napoleon Hill once said, anything that the mind can conceive and believe can be achieved. And this is where we see where belief system comes in as such a master key along that process. Now, the beautiful thing about the five pillars of modern alchemy is that I essentially wove together all of the elements and tools and insights that have been valuable to me on my great journey of transformation and really overcoming such significant adversity through the course of my life. And because many of the current day healing modalities, many of the even mystery schools or mystery schools of the past offer a fragment of that wisdom and divine knowledge that will absolutely bring about transformation in your life. And yet, because it is only a fragment, it is nowhere near to the potential of what is possible for what you are capable of in this life, in this very one life right here and now. And so that's why bringing together all of these philosophies, understandings, practices, concepts into a greater synergy becomes that key to unlock the full fractal of wisdom, ancient wisdom, divine knowledge that then helps you gather all of the aspects of your soul's light, right? Those filaments of essence, of quintessence, and bring them back to right here and right now, right? And that unlocks a whole universe of opportunity and potential for you as a human. Oh, I can't hear you, dear.
One of the other aspects in this process that we are defining today as alchemy seems to be the recognition that we don't really give ourselves that we are capable of so much. I used to ask this question at the end of the program of our guests, how powerful are we? And you know, and of course, usually the answer is, oh, infinitely powerful. Unfortunately, our, shall we say, our society, our culture has basically told us no. No, because and I use the example, for example, in religion of, oh well, no, you can't talk to God. You come to me and we'll I'll speak for you, that kind of thing. You know, the priests within the various philosophies. And I find that rather interesting, that we're there are some who have they have you know sort of reached that pinnacle, so to speak, right? But there are others who, you know, they have not, they haven't, because they're still trapped in those messages from the past. Which one of these pillars, alchemical pillars of the five that you address, would you say would help to facilitate an individual's greater understanding of self, and then in turn being able to then find out what their life's purpose is, go out and live that, and then and be a shall we say an alchemical practitioner unofficially, so to speak, just by virtue of living their lives, being the example. Hey, I transformed my life, you can do it too, kind of thing.
Well, this is a great question. Now, of course, I'll preface this by saying for those of your listeners that are interested in how you can work with these principles and practices in a very grounded way, we do have a Modern Alchemist certification program, and that will be available on our website. But I really want to dive into, I want to talk about the Akashic Records for a
Please,
moment.
yes.
Because the Akashic records are an etheric storehouse, an etheric compendium of every human soul's journey through time. And these records, with the right understanding, alignment, energetic, we'll call it framework or preparation, these records can be accessed. So part of the work that I do on an individual and group basis with the Akashic Records is to be able to hold a sacred container of high frequency, of love frequency, and then access the Hall of Records for the scrolls or information that is held there for each individual. Not as a way of saying, well, who was I? Was I Cleopatra? Was I Mary Magdalene in the past? And I know we'll talk about that after. But to know what are the lifetimes of the past. Now, this is important because whether or not you believe in past lives from a reincarnation standpoint or multiple simultaneous lives, right, through multiple realities, it still has the same essence, the same effect of whatever emotion or energy is held unresolved, where a misunderstanding about self, relationship, and creation, and of course, co-creation comes into play. And these are the elements that are carried through not only our soul's experience through time, but also more often than not, our ancestral lineage. And this is so incredible because, you know, you are a walking treasure map. You just require the understanding, those master keys, to unlock certain levels of your map system so that you can find that gold that exists within you. So when we're able to go in and start to look at some of an individual's experiences in the past, and I'll give you an example of this in a moment, where unresolved energy has been carried, well, it plays out through our current life, where we see those reoccurring patterns. Right? We all have them. We all have patterns. Some of our patterns are fantastic, but some of them are like, wow, this is not what I want for myself. Why does this keep happening again and again and again in my love relationships, in my family of origin, in my relationships with children or extended family or friends? Why does this keep happening with my work? My finances, my health, my self-expression. Why can't I really say what I truly think and feel? And so once we start to look at that pattern that is happening right now for you, because it is in the beautiful alchemy of this moment that a doorway opens, that we can look into the past, that we can transform the past, and by doing so, make the connections. It's like connecting the dots, which brings greater understanding, greater awareness. And then we can go, wow, I get it now. It's like where the aha moment becomes the of release. And through doing that, we can anchor a new pattern of life that is more harmonious, that is more aligned with our heart and soul, that is more fulfilling. For the present and future. And the power of this work is that it doesn't just affect you. It affects all of those in your circle of proximity, all of those that you're connected to through your bloodlines, your DNA, and then, of course, your soul family, the web of life and consciousness of humanity. And so, you know, this is such a reminder of the power, that holy power that is held within us. So many of the individuals that come to me for this work, and I did say I'd share an example. Many of the individuals that come experience a tremendous sense of relief and liberation, where the patterns now no longer have to be repeated. And that we can use the five pillars of modern alchemy in a practical way to create those new patterns, to create those new habits that eventually become automatic, right? They're like stepping stones that allow for the highest expression of who we are to surface, right? Through us, around us, and in the greater world around us. So I had an individual that had a very, very successful career in the military. And there was such a deep sense of loyalty. And part of the challenge in their lives currently was the loyalty to country, and loyalty to family. So there were elements in personal relationships that held dissonance or unresolved past experiences. And so when we were able to go in and move through a number of different experiences where that individual had felt a sense of incredible responsibility for something that happened on a really global scale. And the great sense of not only responsibility for grief about that, the grief that then turned into thoughts that were self-loathing, right? Patterns of behavior that replicated, right? That self-loathing or that feeling of how can I ever rectify? How can I ever reconcile this? How can I ever give back enough to find that sense of liberation, to come into a deeper expression of love and peace in myself and my key relationships. So once we were able to make those points of connection to really see, ah, here is the experience. And not just to see it, but to tap into the emotion because it's all held in the body. It's held between the subconscious and the cellular consciousness. And so then by using the aromatics and using some of the practices from modern alchemy, there was a great shift, a great opening that happened for this individual. Something that had been carried for thousands of years was able to be released. And so this is the power of this greater work. And this is the power when we're using especially the aromatics, with the Akashic work, with the vibrational medicine, because they have such a powerful connection between the subconscious and the cellular consciousness. And I know this is, a great a part of the sacred medicine of Mary Magdalene and the divine feminine that I know we're going to be talking about today.
Well, then that's a that's an interesting person too that I have I don't want to say necessarily looked up to, but I have felt a person who was of great importance, especially in the time that in which she lived, but also for us today. The thing that has always perplexed me, of course, and I've mentioned this numerous times on this program, is the fact that she does not get the due that she so richly deserves, did not seek after, but still deserves. She was the first person to recognize the Christ following his resurrection. The men, when they came upon him, basically queried him as to where the nearest tavern was so that they could drown their sorrows because their best friend just died. They didn't know who he was. As a matter of fact, Mary wanted to touch the hem of his garment, and he said, no, paint's not dry yet. Just hold off. Wait. I paraphrase. And it's that element of these stories that we have read countless times. We've heard them from the pulpit countless times, where they will read the words and they will claim to be sharing with us their understanding of those words, and yet they completely gloss over that particular element. In that particular story, there are other stories too where they still gloss over. And it's like, wait a minute, you missed something. You know? And this is not to place the woman above the man or feminine above the masculine. Again, I reiterate that in every program when we go down this path. To say, look, this is not about unequal rights that women want to take over. No, they women want to play a part in the process of decision making, of creating, of, and it seems as though here we are in the 21st century, and it seems as though women are achieving that goal even though it might be small steps, at least they are steps in that direction. And that it's almost as though the Me Too movement in particular has basically said, enough is enough. Stop playing this stupid patriarchal game. We're not here to institute the matriarchal game. Stop playing these games. We are here together. We're half the population, you know, and we, by virtue of existing, deserve to be a part of the total equation.
Yes, there is so much to unwind here. So I want to start with this. And for all of your listeners that are out there right now, and your curiosity has been piqued because Mary Magdalene is one of the most iconic, mystical, mysterious women and even enigmas of our time and of a very long time. Now, I'm going to start this part of the journey very intentionally. And, you know, I shared with you and the community on the last recording that, you know, the past 30 years now of my work has been focused, centered on aromatics, on essential oils, these sacred oils that we have used for anointing and medicine for thousands and thousands of years. And that's where I want to start, because for all of you out there listening, if you have an essential oil that you want to go grab right now, please do so, because it is an awakener of consciousness. It is an awakener of the ancient wisdom and divine knowledge that is held within you from your soul to yourself. And as we go ahead with this conversation and start to unwind many of the myths, many of the misconceptions that have been held around Mary, as well as the divine feminine, you're going to find that there is great truth. There is that voice of truth and wisdom, that presence of divine power that is encoded within your soul that begins to rise in a greater way. So go ahead and grab that. And then once you have it, I'm going to ask you to just either, if it's pure, just place a drop on the left palm of your hand, your receptive side, or if it's a roll on like this, this is one of my formulas, the Mary Magdalene formula. You can just roll it on. And then I want you to take a deep breath in. And as you breathe in, you're making a connection between your subconscious, your brain, opening a new memory cell. You are connecting deep within your heart and soul, all of the cells and wisdom throughout your body, and just invite in your intention, whatever that may be. And if you're not sure of what your intention is in this moment, perhaps to come into a deeper communion with the divine feminine within you through Mary. Now, we all have aspects of the feminine and masculine within us, right? And the divine feminine is rising on the planet right now. I love the way that you mention that, that you frame that, Richard. And in truth, it is rising to come back into oneness, to that sense of unity with the masculine. And this isn't a journey just in our relationships in life. It is through our inner being, right? Because the true sacred marriage is the healing, the balancing, the unity between the inner masculine and feminine within us. So as we take this journey for a few minutes together, let it be one that is outside of time, that is outside any concept of limitation, and merely, simply connected with the presence of divine consciousness, the presence of Mother Earth, the presence of Mary, and all of the allies that you are connected to, all of the angels and beings. Because when we start to talk about Mary as that high apostle of Christ, as that, my perception, twin flame, as that individual that was an incredibly high level spiritual initiate, right, who had reached achieved a level of mastery in alignment with Christ, and who also received the true essence of the teachings of Christianity, of love, of faith, of surrender, of forgiveness and peace, and brought them to Europe and then many different parts of the world through her work. So as we take this journey and tap into this through the collective consciousness, it's so profound because we really have to go back in time as well to understand why this distortion. Why, for thousands and thousands of years, have we not felt the presence of the divine feminine in as palpable, powerful, balanced, holy power way that we know is true somewhere deep within us, right? And so there's a couple of things that I just want to bring into this conversation, because there was a great dissension that Mary was on par with Christ, that she too had received many initiations in mystery schools and groups all over the earth, Egypt, India, many other locations, in addition to the Middle East, and then bringing her sacred medicine to Europe and France. And much of that, right, we can see through certain biblical texts or references that refer to her as a prostitute, right, or some of these other very degrading aspects. And I want to bring in a question. I want to bring in a curiosity for everyone that's listening today, because how can we understand that, at this time and after the passing of Christ, where the many of the teachings of the early church had a deep political connection, right? And even many of the things that we see in the Bible. Now, what is the best way to manipulate the truth, right? It's always through separation. And when we look at the masculine and the feminine from this beautiful place of equality, of polarity, right, being on par, well, the feminine, from an archetypical perspective, has that ease of divine connection, right, of intuition, of hearing the voice of God within her, of feeling into certain things sometimes before they happen, of knowledge of the medicine that's held in plants, right? The oils, the crystals, of being deeply connected to the earth, creative, receptive. Now, the masculine has equally as beautiful gifts, right? Of being able to take that sense of confidence, strength, and power, and go out into the world, right? It's an outward sense of power, to create, to gather, right? To bring back resources, to have the great power and strength of the will, of the mind, to be able to overcome, negative projections in a way that is very different from the woman. And so when we acknowledge this and we see through that divine sacred communion that the man brings that sense of energy and very magnetic presence to the woman who is receptive, right? Or magnetic, well, electric through the man and magnetic through the woman. So where she's receiving that, and then together the current, the circuit of love and light, right, is so powerful. It is that alchemical container where when two individuals come together balanced in their own inner masculine and feminine energies, regardless of gender, can come together and create, co-create miracles very, very quickly together. They transform very, very quickly the parts of their shadow. And so when we understand this in the fullness and divine perfection of its form, well, then we say, well, if anyone wanted to have the ability to control an individual or a faction, it would come through separating this sacred communion. And then when the woman becomes viewed as distorted, right? Like the prostitute, someone that is dirty or uneducated, then the separation between the two is incredibly painful, right? And we see this today in the great dichotomy in our world, which of course stems from our inner journey, right? So if just to stay with me one more moment so I can bring this together. So if we want to have control through a church or an organization or government, we separate these two powerful energies that long to connect with one another. And then the deep sense of abandonment creates further distortion. The masculine energies are much easier to be controlled through the government, through the politics, because they don't have that connection, that love and nurturance that they require for the feminine. And then the feminine also moves much more further away from embodying the true essence of her feminine creatrix energy, right? That sense of being receptive, being intuitive. Being able to understand the rhythms of the earth, the medicine of the earth, the songs of the earth, and the medicine of each other, and what we require, right, as great healers and teachers. So, this is so important because we start to understand why she would be ridiculed, why she would be removed as being on par with Christ. Does that make sense?
And of course we continue to do that in some circles today, not just the male to the female, but just individuals. We have a situation in this country especially, that's been going on for, I'm going to say, 9, almost 10 years, where there is this perceived sense of loyalty and commitment to these people that are brought on board for a particular task. But the moment that they question the leader, I'll use the term loosely, they are castigated, they are tossed out, they are ridiculed, they are defamed, primarily verbally, with everything in leadership's power to defame them with, and their credibility is basically, it's their credibility is put in question. But I would say that over the last 10 years, if anybody were to be brought in by this particular leader, and then they experience that, I would say, well, I hate to break it to you, but you did this to yourself. You saw what happened to the people before you. You saw exactly what happened, and yet you chose to go into the lion's den. So, this is on you, not on this other person. And this kind of pulls into question their connectedness to their intuition, their inner voice, their gut feeling, and so forth. Whether it be male or female, it doesn't matter. And we do that a lot, don't we? We say, no, I really need to do this. I really need to go in this direction. I really need to make this happen. And it would have been better off if they had just left things alone and gone off in a different direction, because they felt, I and it's It's actually a wrong example because, you know, you'll see that in the movies all the time. An individual is goes into the situation, and we, the viewer, we know what's going to happen, and we'll yell at the screen, "No, don't do that. Don't go in there. Don't become a part of this," you know. But our intuition is already saying that to us in this realm, in this world. Don't go that direction. I've got something bigger and better for you if you will just be patient.
Well, that's so true. And this is really the invitation to come into the presence of the feminine within you, within every individual, because there is a receptivity, right? When we create from the female perspective, it isn't linear, it is spherical. It is a flow. It is much more of a spiral than a linear process. And coming to this idea of leadership is so important because I feel as though Mary Magdalene, with so many of us coming, being drawn to her energy, her teachings, her aspects of self-mastery, those divine attributes that can benefit us all right now, of faith, of trust, of divine love, of surrender. And I do see her as an iconic, tangible aspect of the divine feminine, as a spiritual leader for our times, in the way that opening to a deeper relationship through her consciousness, her connection within us, allows our own sacred self leader to rise from a place of much greater balance. And, you know, again, coming back to this idea that there is one beautiful that I've seen so far, a beautiful stained glass at a basilica in Limoux, which is one of the destinations on the yearly aromatic spiritual pilgrimage, alchemical journey that I take a group on every year. And it's very profound because it is one of the few places that you'll see that have a artful historic representation of Jesus and Mary Magdalene as equals. They are equally placed through this beautiful stained glass. And, you know, it is such a profound reminder for us that we are all equal, right? Within our souls, from the creator perspective, from that divine perspective. And the reason that I mentioned to your listeners to get an essential oil if they had one handy is because Mary historically is always depicted with her alabaster jar of oils for anointing. And there is a term known as the myrrh bearers or myrrhophores, right? That usually it's connected back to the time of Christ going to the cave at the resurrection, right? With their oils that they used for anointing, like Mary used the spikenard, an oil of profound transfiguration on Jesus before the crucifixion. These myrrh bearers, so if we follow the history through time, I would say that the origins are certainly Egyptian, if not before. And there's many beautiful reliefs in Egypt and sacred temples that in this time of, right, opening to my work with the oils, right, as a myrrhophore, to witness these places where the aromatics had such a profound presence, not just physically, but spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. And so when we are able to connect with the oils in a sacred way, in the way of anointing, right, in the way of receiving the fullness of their quintessence, because they, like we are both alchemical and biochemical in nature, which is why they are a master key for our greater spiritual awakening, for our greater physical vibrancy, emotional resilience, and mental clarity. And so this sacred medicine of Mary, and of course, before that, has been passed through time as a way for us to awaken that presence of our own sacred self leader, that presence of love and forgiveness within us that we are called to, because it is the places of our own feminine and masculine imbalance, pain from the past, through our lineage, through our history, through our soul's journey through time, that are here present to be embraced and blessed and held and anointed in the most sacred of ways, to come back into remembrance, to come back into unity, to come back into that place of sacred communion that exists within us. And now think of how different this world can and will be as we all step into this journey, wherever we are on our path of awakening, right? It is that creation, that co-creation, recreation of heaven on earth, but that exists here within us, within our sacred human hearts and souls and minds and bodies.
Modern alchemist Adora Winquist. She is a love and relationship expert, author of over 20 years in the field of personal development, aromatherapy, and vibrational medicine. And she is sharing with us, of course, her insights into today into Mary Magdalene. We're going to have you back again to continue this conversation and move into other realms as well. She also talks about the five pillars of modern alchemy that guide your higher path of healing. And of course, she's been through those today, and those five pillars that I hope that you folks will take to heart. They are, of course, essential oils, crystal, meditation, practical, and then, of course, the one that encompasses the other four, the love alchemy. And we are so grateful that she has given us so much time here on the program. And we are here with Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and Adora, I want to thank you so much for joining us again here on the program. We're going to have you back to continue this conversation and into other realms. It's one of the things that I'm really finding fascinating is creating series of programs that we can dive deeper into some of these aspects, not just of alchemy, but in terms of our understanding of where we have come from as a not just a species but called human beings, but also as spiritual beings as well, and where we are based upon where we've been, and where not so much where we're going, but where we can choose to go. So I thank you so much for the time. It's been wonderful.
It's been a great joy and pleasure. Thank you so much, Richard. And I can't wait to come back.
And we will schedule that shortly. And I thank you folks for listening to and watching Tell Me Your Story. New paradigms for a new world, where we're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We're here on Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., Wednesdays at 9 a.m., and Monday through Friday from 8 to 9 a.m. And we certainly hope that you'll tune into those programs, because we stream them live at richarddugan.com at those times. We podcast at SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and many other locations. You can watch these conversations on YouTube, and we hope that you will do that. Also, if you can support the work we're doing, we would greatly appreciate that. We have a PayPal account. It's there for your security as well as ours. When they ask for an email address to whom you're sending, richard@richarddugan.com. That's richard@richarddugan.com. And take some time to go within and listen to that still small voice during this, the decade of perfect vision. And with all that being said, I do want to ask you those three final questions. I'll probably ask them again every time we get together, and sometimes the answers change. But the first of those three questions is, who is Adora Winquist?
Adora Winquist is a divine, sovereign being of light that emanates the love frequency.
What is it that gets you up in the morning?
Love for my family, love for my work, and a desire to have the greatest positive benevolent impact on human consciousness during the course of my life and beyond.
And finally, what was your best day?
Today, of course, right here, right now.
Well, Adora, thank you once again for joining us here on the program. It's been a pleasure, and we look forward to having you back again. We'll get that set up and continue our conversation down this path. And I thank you to you folks for listening to and watching Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. And until our next broadcast, podcast, videocast, love to Lal. Jeanette, I'm still listening. Dad, continue to be happy because I am. Smokey, I'll see you on the other side. To my dear friend Zorro. Aho. Aho.